Take Two family. Welcome to your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. You're the key person. You're the person we wait for. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and I am the co-host of Take Two. Jerry Usher will be back next week. He's on a retreat. Remember, he's in seminary formation, so we're all praying for him and journeying with him as he enters, God willing, the priesthood. So we're very excited about that, and we're going to be so happy to hear the updates when he comes back next week. So that's very exciting, but you have me today. I hopefully have you, because I need some help. So I need everybody to stop what you're doing. Okay, pull over safely to the side of the road. Gently put the baby down. Be careful, though. Put the baby down gently. Okay, stop what you're doing and listen to this, okay? There's a problem happening, and the title of the show is When Christians Behave Badly. I really want to ask the Take Two family, are you noticing that there's a lot of Christians, or they say they are Christians, and there's a lot of bad behavior happening in the world, and it's in public view now. See, in the past, people used to be a bit embarrassed or ashamed of their behavior, so they would kind of do it in secret or private, or keep it separate from their life. Now people are just out there saying things and doing things that are so inappropriate. They are it. And that's just one side of it. There's also just the general bad behavior that Christians can sometimes be selfish and rude and impatient and critical and judgmental. And this hypocritical behavior, it's really problematic, because our children are watching. Our young adults are watching, and they don't want that. They want us to walk the walk and talk the talk. Are you guys noticing it? Because I am. And listen, I'm not trying to be critical or judgmental. I'm sure I have behaved badly yesterday. I mean, it's just the way we're all, it's the part of the fall of our nature, in the sense that we are going to sin, right? Where we have wounds, we are broken, we have problems. And so I'm the first one to admit that in that broken nature, you can sin. Absolutely. First one to admit it. But I'm noticing things that are over the top. Very bizarre behavior. Is anyone else noticing it? If you're noticing it, if you're experiencing it, I need you to call in. Or if you just want to make comments about how to get Christians to behave like Christians. You know, it's not just a name, a title that you wear, or you carry around, or you're a card-carrying Catholic Christian. You really have to go out there and be Christ to others. Really do what Christ tells us to do, how to love one another, right? And when we behave badly, and I will tell you, a lot of times, there's alcohol at the root of it. There's alcohol at the start of it. Even the tiniest bit of alcohol, I've seen it. Lately, my husband and I are watching things when we go out for dinner, or we go to a restaurant, or we even go to an event. I see these interactions, and usually there's alcohol involved. It is really, it's so disturbing. It hits my spirit, and I'm like, something is wrong. I want to grab like the microphone and get everybody's attention in the room and say, guys, can we act like Christians here? And it's happening quite frequently. What can we do about it? I know we can pray. Okay, I know we can pray. But what can we do by fraternal correction, or some kind of modeling for other people how to really be Christian? I've often said this at times, or I've often thought it at times, that I think Christians sometimes feel like it's boring to be a Christian, and that's not true. So when they go out and they quote unquote let their hair down, they act really off the wall, very odd. And I know this is a general statement I'm making, absolutely general. So please forgive me if anybody is saying, wow, she's being really critical. I'm just observing. I'm a people watcher. I'm the type of person you want to bring to a mall, okay, a shopping mall, and I'll sit on the bench and I'll just watch people. I love watching how they have the cartoon bubble over their head, if they should go in or out of a store, if they should purchase something, you know, when they're walking and talking with people. I love watching people. It's very entertaining to me. me. I love body language to see how people relate to one another. And I've just noticed it. And I'm not the only person who has felt this way. I've talked to many friends. I've talked to many people in ministry, and they're noticing it as well. So the topic of the show, the title of the show is When Christians Behave Badly. Have you experienced it? Maybe you're one of those Christians that you made some mistakes and you've said some things, done some things, and you're like, you know, I'm one of those Christians. I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I've behaved badly. I think if we're going to be honest with ourselves, and I think we have to admit that we're, you know, this is a very sinful world, and we are faced with temptations all the time. And sometimes we can get through it and be very virtuous. And sometimes, you know, if we're weak, if we're tired, if we're hungry, if we're angry, you know, all the things, you know, we may fall to some level of sin. And that's the beauty that we have here in the Catholic Church, is we have the sacrament of reconciliation, a healing sacrament to help us get our state of our soul in a better place, and to do the next right thing, and to have a plan to not commit that sin again, and to work our way out of it. That's what I loved yesterday about Saint Teresa of Avila, you know, the great saint, a doctor of the church. She used to, when the nuns would come out of the confessional, she would put her, this is what we were told, she would put her hands on their shoulders and say, begin again, or begin anew. I love that. And that is so true for each and every one of us. So, you know, the thing I want to just ask, here's the question. Have you experienced Christians who say they are Christians really not acting in a Christian way? Anyway, it doesn't have to be just, you know, a really bad, you know, mortal sin. I'm talking even just being selfish or rude or judgmental or critical or, you know, very preachy, you know, preaching it real, real good, but then not practicing it. Have you experienced that? Maybe you're that type of Christian. Could we talk about it? I just want to know why. Like, why be Christian if you're not going to live it? And I need your help. So you hear the music. Now it's your turn. Come on, you guys. Fill up those phone lines. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. And if you have a problem with Catholics, you think we don't practice Catholicism, then call us. Please, let's talk about it. And the number is 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. Please call in. I need your voice on this topic. Absolutely love this feast day. It's the feast of Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, and Saint Margaret Mary was my mother's favorite saint. My mother had a strong devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and that's what Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque promoted. And I just love this great saint. Please learn the story and the details of the saints, because they are our role models. They really know how to behave properly as Christians, and they had wonderful personalities. So they had their share of fun. You know, it can be fun to be a Christian. I think sometimes, I don't know, it's weird. It's like people have two personalities. They have their church personality, and then they have their social real world personality. It's odd to me. I'm the same person. I'm just going to let you know that. If you met me on the street, if you met me at church, that's just the way I roll. Just because it's too difficult to be different people. But I will tell you, though, when you have that kind of personality where you know, you're a certain way in a certain circumstance, and then you change, you know, people don't know who to trust or what to trust about you. It's not really genuine. And how do you then, if somebody comes to you and asks you for advice, how do they know which person they're going to get? And are you really going to be that role model that can lead by example and stuff? Or are you going to just say in the right circumstances what to keep the peace or something of that nature? See, this is what's happening, and we're compromising. And then we say, oh, well, you know, I can't do that with my family member, because if I tell them, you know, what the church teaches, or I tell them what Christ teaches, oh, they won't talk to me anymore. And so I've got to just keep the peace. You know, I don't really buy that. And I need some help with this, because I'm noticing that Christians are behaving badly at times. And that's unfortunate. And that means that there's something we should be doing if we notice it, to make it better, because we don't want to break the body of Christ. We want to build the mystical body of Christ, right? And so in order to do that, we have to explore what the reasons are, and then try to, through prayer and through, you know, proper action, really help people to grow in holiness. Holiness is cool. Holiness is exciting. It really is. Because think about it, as you grow in holiness, you are getting closer to God. And it's only going to be that much better for all of eternity for you. And that's the beautiful thing about holiness. Holiness is cool. It's not this, I know we look at the lives of the saints. I mean, maybe I could pick a better word than cool, but you know what I'm trying to say. It's really exciting. And it should be thrilling enough, and you should want it enough to be on that quest for every day to behave as a Christian with everything that means, with patience and love and kindness and understanding and all the beautiful virtues and things that Christianity holds. Now you guys are coming in strong. Please call. I'd really love your take on this. I need your take on this, because I'm actually putting together a talk that I'm going to be doing in December. And I really want to talk about this. I struggle. I really do as a Christian. I meet a lot of Catholic Christians, and I meet a lot of people because of the work that I do. And I have to tell you, some of them, and I, please forgive me when I say this, because I, you know how much I love the clergy. My uncle was a priest, my religious. My aunt is a Dominican sister. I mean, we had religious all around us when I was growing up. I support vocations. I've always been big on supporting vocations. Jerry Usher's in the seminary. I'm really big on the priesthood. My mother died on St. John Vianney's feast day. My mother was really big on the priesthood too. We all were. But I have met recently some clergy and religious that sometimes they're just not really nice. It's not good. And so something's wrong there. Are they wounded? Are they broken? Are they living, you know, I don't know. Have they got a compromised faith life? I don't know. But something's not right, and I need your help. Okay, here we go. I need you to fill up those last open phone lines at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Please give me your take, your understanding of this, your experience of it. I need your help. If you don't help me, then I'm just going to form my own opinions on this. But I value the Take Two family. I need you to step in and tell us if you're experiencing it. Maybe you're not. Maybe you live in a world, and wherever your town is, I'm probably going to move to it, because I think that's wonderful. I'm not noticing that here where I live. I'm seeing some really strange division. And there's a lot of, I've even seen it from parish to parish. It's the oddest thing I've seen now. So I'd love to hear your experience of this. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Matt's on the phones. Michael's at the controls. Pedro's on social media. I'm waving to you guys on the socials. Put your comments in the chats, or you can always text us. Let's get to the phones. Mary in Colorado Springs, Colorado, listening on Catholic Radio Network. Hi, Mary. Thanks for being first up here on Take Two.
Hi, Debbie. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You go right ahead.
I have a little, I came at this from a different perspective. Because you keep mentioning Christians, and I know a lot of people who say they're Christian that are not Catholic. And when I talk about sin with them, they don't really recognize it like we do. Mm. You know, in other words, like I think we see a lot of actions and our behaviors as sinful, and they don't.
Interesting.
And so when I ask them, you know, like, well, I have a granddaughter that's wayward at the moment, and, you know, when you ask her, are your actions okay, she says, yes. And I'm like, but they're not. And she doesn't even recognize it as simple. And they just talk about, it doesn't matter, because God just covers up my sin. He can't see it.
Mm-hmm. So they're forgiven, and they're always forgiven because Jesus died for them. Okay, got it.
Yes. And so, and then I was just listening to you with the last caller, and you were mm-hmm. the Catholic Church, seeing it within the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go with the same thing. I think that we don't really know what sin is. A lot of people, Catholics, evangelicals, whatever, Presbyterians, whatever, don't even know what sin really is anymore.
Okay, Mary, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. So we know what the problem is. How do we fix it? Because that's a real problem. If they don't know what sin, if they don't know what sin is, oh my goodness, good luck on this road and in for all of eternity. That's a real problem. What do we do? What do we do?
I think one, we try and explain it. However, most people can't hear that, so I don't try and explain anymore. I try to just show by example. Just show by example. When you leave the church parking lot, do it gracefully. Don't go out with a vengeance trying to beat the other cars out. When you just in all your actions, try and live out a Christ-like life in front of them. And then when you see them do it, don't comment. Just stay silent. And, you know, you can do a silent prayer for them.
Yeah.
You know, that's my take on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you this from years of experience. And today's my anniversary, 24 years. And
happy anniversary.
Thank you. It has not been an easy 24 years. I've been married to an evangelical, and I've gone down the wrong path for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Before I learned how to stop, zip it, and just live the way I'm supposed to live and offer that grace to other people quietly. And it is working.
Wow. So let me ask you, first of all, happy anniversary. Your take on this is spot on. By the way, I put you and your husband in our prayer book. Do you want to give us his first name? I put you in the couple section.
Sure, Peter.
Peter. Oh, I love that. Okay, Mary and Peter. I love that. Okay. You're spot on about this, and I, you know, it scares me for the generation that is coming up, that is going to ultimately probably end up having to care for us as we get older. You know, you always, you know, as you get older, you think about this, right? You think about the generation that's going to be there to, you know, take care of the seniors, the elderly. And that concerns me. I wonder where they're at. And I'd love to hear from somebody who's like in their 20s, and maybe you could call in and share. Because if there isn't this understanding of consequences to actions, like, you know, if you break your friendship with God, you know, you sin, there's consequences to that, then it concerns me that it's going to spread for love for one another, right? So people could do things and not think it's sinful and not think it's abusive or hurtful, because it's just where they're at. And that concerns me if we don't somehow inform people in the Christian life to really start walking the walk and talking the talk. And I love what you said, Mary, about we have to quietly model it at all times. And a perfect example you used is racing out of the church parking lot. I couldn't agree more. It's such a simple exercise, but so many of us fail to do it well because for some reason we race out of that parking lot. I don't understand it. It just blows my mind at times. I've been watching it for 40 years. But Mary, you are spot on. Any final comments? I want you to stay listening because Kirk is coming up next in Houston, and he has a take, and so does Lydia and Trey. And so I want to see if we can form something together today that we can start right away, maybe through prayer, through action. And Mary, you gave us a great exercise to just model it, even in the small ways. Anything else, Mary, before I let you go?
No, that's all. I just wanted you to know that with my granddaughter, I have invited her to come out And I will talk to her about who God is and what sin is and how we're supposed to react to it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I just thought I'd let you know that so far she hasn't responded to my text. So we'll see what happens there.
Right. Okay. All righty. Well, I'll put your granddaughter in the prayer book too. Okay. Thank you so much, Mary. We appreciate it. God bless you. Keep us posted. And thank you. We're going to get to Kirk next in Houston, Texas. But I just wanted to share our call screener. Matt sent this quote over from G.K. Chesterton. Chesterton once was asked, "What is wrong with the world today?" And he responded simply, "I am." So that's very powerful. And it starts with us. I mean, we have to, I agree with Mary, we have to take the lead and we have to really be truly authentic Christians, like real, genuine Christians, if people are going to be drawn into the faith and people are going to want more. They can recognize, people can recognize a fake. They just can. I think we're trained now with AI and all sorts of things to really be skeptical and kind of guarded and wondering, is this person for real? Are they telling me the truth? And I just love everything that Mary had to say. And so prayers. We're getting responses, Mary. People are wishing you a happy anniversary. It's so sweet. I love the Take Two family. So Mary's going to free that phone line. If you have something to say about this, the topic is Christians behaving badly. Have you noticed it? What can we do about it? Let's use this platform to start a movement. I love when we join together as the body of Christ. 833-288-3986. Let's say hello to Kirk in Houston, Texas on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Kirk. Welcome.
How you doing? It's great to talk to you.
Yes, thank you. I'm so glad you called in. Now, Kirk, I'm just gonna warn you. We'll start in a minute. If you can hold on, I need you to hold on another minute so I can get through the break. But why don't you get started?
Okay, not a problem.
Okay.
I'm gonna get back real quick to a comment that you just made, that we need to walk the walk and talk the talk,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of part of the problem. Is we as Catholics, we as Christians, we're hearing sermons that talk about, let's do the next right thing. Mm-hmm. Let's love one another as Jesus taught us to love. Let's go talk the talk and walk the walk. All right. The problem with that is that we're trying to do that in our own strength. And you and I both know that doesn't go very far. We may can do that for an hour, for 24 hours, for a week, but we're not here and able to walk the walk of a Christian in our own strength. So what I want to suggest is this. Paul talks in the New Testament, and I believe it's 68 times he mentions being in Christ. And specifically in Philippians chapters 3 and 4, he talks about being found in Christ. That is his goal, to be found in him, to be found in his life, to be found in his love. And we're to be that life, we're to be that love. I think you get that through the Word. We've got to get people to read the Word, to study the Word, to meditate on the Word. I mean, just sit and read Ephesians 3 and 4 and just meditate
right.
on what is Paul describing being found in mm-hmm. Christ.
Wow, this is powerful. Kirk, you can't go anywhere. This is huge. Stay with us when we come back. More of how we're gonna fix this, guys. We're going to do this together. 833-288-EWTN. Please call us. We're talking about Christians behaving badly today on Take Two. Take on this, guys. You still have time to get in and make a call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And what I need from you is I need you to weigh in on this and share about Christians, if you've noticed Christians behaving badly and what we can do about it. Now, obviously, we have to look at ourselves first, right? But also we have eyes to see, and we can experience what's going on around us. So we know that the world has gone off the rails at times with certain sins. And so what do we do about it? How do we help each other? You know, Kirk, we're speaking to Kirk in Houston, Texas, and we're going to get back to the conversation. Kirk, don't go anywhere. For over 40 years, EWTN has been praying with and for people throughout the world. Today, we want to pray for anything that weighs on your heart, such as family members, health, or finances. It's our honor to pray for you. Please take a moment now and send us your prayer request at EWTN.com/prayer. And I just want to do this quick shout out because it's so important. It's pledge drive season. It's fall pledge drive season. And I'm going to be co-hosting with Father Doug Brown and other hosts in Cleveland. One of our great EWTN radio partners, AM 1260 The Rock, is with three stations serving Cleveland and Northern Ohio, is kicking off their fall spirit drive on Wednesday next week. Please support your Catholic radio station when they come to you. Please, please, please. I'm asking you to do that because it's so important. Okay, let's go to back to Kirk. And Kirk, I'm right with you. The living word of God. Absolutely. There's if we don't read scripture every day and meditate on the readings of the day, meditate on them, bring them into our daily lives, we're missing out. And we're not. And when you went into Paul saying, you said 68 times the references of it being in Christ or found in Christ, powerful. Kirk, pick up where you left off.
Yeah, I have been actually personally studying this for quite a while because, you know, we get a lot of great books about following Jesus. Even Jesus said, follow me, all right? And we get these books about how to be an apprentice for Christ, how to spend a day with Jesus. All of them are great books. But I think we fall short when we're, like I was talking to a Bible friend of mine this morning, if I follow Jesus and I'm on a path, and he and I are walking down a path, and I'm following him. Occasionally, I will look to my right and look to my left on the path, and I'm really no longer following him for a few minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm found in him, if I'm in him, that's a greater commitment. That's mm-hmm. a greater place to be, is in him, not just following him. So I'm just going to challenge all of us as Christians to spend time in meditating on what did Paul mean by being found in Christ? How can I be found in him more? You know, when I go through the day and I have a tirade and I'm mad and I'm angry at a driver in front of me, was I just found in Christ? I don't think so. I think mm-hmm. I was found in my world at that moment.
Right.
So I have to back up and say, okay, Jesus, help me back into your kingdom, out of my kingdom. I need to be found in your kingdom more and more often, which Paul says, from glory to glory to glory. We're never going to be there 100% of the time. But we can be there more today than we were yesterday. And just keep meditating, keep praying, and keep asking Jesus, draw me closer to yourself. Help me to be found in you. Help me to be found in your life and in your love for those around me. Anyway, that's kind of my theological sermon for the day.
I love it. I have to ask you, Kirk, are you in ministry?
Yes, I'm a chaplain at MD Anderson, which is a large cancer mm-hmm. hospital here in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a master's in pastoral studies, which is a little scripture heavy, and I love to study scripture and just meditate on these truths that change people's lives and change my life. And we're on a great path with God, and He loves us. He loves us so much. It's so much fun. It's a thrill to study His word, to study Him. I mean, Jesus is mm-hmm. the word. Go read the book of Mark and just meditate on who Jesus was and tell yourself, hey, I want to walk. I want to be this guy. I want this guy to walk in my life with me. And,
right.
and he will.
Boy, the patients at MD Anderson, they are so lucky and fortunate to receive you as a chaplain. You are just amazing. I love your spirit. I love your delivery. Your tone is wonderful. I mean, you must bring tremendous comfort and great peace to the people that are going through the most. I mean, I know because I've been through cancer. You're very vulnerable, very fragile, and you need that support. And so, Kirk, thank thank you for stepping up and doing that and being Christ to them.
Yeah, you're well. I am privileged and honored that I'm invited to the into their sacred space in those fearful moments. And mm-hmm. any you know, the glory goes to God, not to any of us. Yeah. He's you know, my role is to join Him in what He's already doing. So praise to Him. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Well, more blessings, more blessings and graces to you, Kirk. Thank you so much for inspiring us today and weighing in on this. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I'm right with you. And the words you used, I love them. When you were talking about the, you know, thrill and the, I mean, that's what I was trying to say at the beginning of the show. It's exciting to walk with the Lord. It's exciting to get as close as we possibly can to the Lord on this side of the veil. And one thing I just want to add, Kirk, before you leave, it's a perfect day to be talking about this. St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, she was the promoter of the, she promoted the devotion Sacred Heart of Jesus, right? So go from your heart to His heart and immerse yourself in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And the devotions are, the devotion is there. The prayers are there. The Litany of the Sacred Heart, the First Friday devotions. And it's just another way, Kirk, to get closer to the Lord. Kirk, thank you so much. God bless you. And thank you for weighing in on this topic. We're going to stay in the great state of Texas. Lydia is in Midland, Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Lydia. Welcome back.
Hey. I just want to say I have so much to say, but because you always have such good topics. But you know, when the father at the right before the end of the mass, he's blessing us, but people walk out after communion. You know, I was thinking if we need to make a new movement. Nobody leaves until the father does the blessing. Then you can leave. And I know that after you get your blessings, you would have a better day because you are blessed. And I think, because I never leave. I stay until afterwards and I meditate and I pray. But I think that's what we need to do is pass the word out not to leave until Father blesses everybody and then you can go home. And then I need to tell you, you know that picture of Jesus when he's sitting there with the kids under the tree holding mm-hmm. the kids in his mm-hmm. arms?
Yes. And,
well, I pretend I'm one of those children.
Aww.
And I'm listening to him, and I'm loving him, and I'm I just love Jesus so much that even though I'm an old person, I feel like one of those children just listening to Jesus. But I also wanted to also tell you that one day me and my coworkers were having a little discussion, and it wasn't a very good one, and I got kind of upset because they were trying to get me to agree with them. And I didn't because it was wrong. And I told him, I said, you know, we need to be nice. I mm-hmm. says, we need to be nice to everybody. What would Jesus do? How would he handle this? This is how I think. I says, I ask God all the time, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I handle this? Help me. I says, because I remember everybody used to wear those little bracelets that say, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
We need to get those bracelets back on again. But I also have a Holy Spirit a pendant on me, and I had it blessed from the Father. And also, you know, I everything I wear, I have blessed by the Father because I feel protected everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I just want to say that what we need to do is have more positive and less negative, because that positive is going up to God. But that negativity goes down. You get depressed. You're not feeling good. You get mad. And you know who that one belongs to.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to go there. So that's
right.
What I want to try to tell my friends. Please, stay positive. It's going to be okay. It will be okay. But you have to have faith. And you got to keep praying the divine mercy, the rosary, all the prayers. Oh, my gosh. And keep praying for people all around the world, because there's so many people suffering everywhere. And our prayers do make miracles happen. So we can also make that happen. I just want to share that with you, because I cry tears every day, Debbie, because of all the people suffering.
Yeah.
And I just want to say we need to pray for them.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Lydia. There's a lot of suffering, but I really do believe this, Lydia. What you said is spot on. And you met those rubber bracelets that used to say WWJD. What would Jesus do? They should come back. But I agree with you. The one thing I would add, though, is that we need to put another letter in there. I would put what would Jesus really do? Because the problem is those were twisted. Remember what happened? People would say, oh, Jesus would love you even if you were in this really deep sin and all this kind of nonsense, keeping people in their sin. Jesus also, he loves them, but he wants them to go and sin no more. He's wanting them to have a higher purpose, a higher standard. He wants them to come out of sin. Of course he loves us, and of course he does that, but he doesn't want us to stay in that negative place of sin and a broken friendship with God. And that's what you're saying, Lydia. And unfortunately, I believe this. I've seen it in my own life, so that's why I believe it, that a lot of people are heaping suffering onto themselves that they don't need to have because they're unwilling to make changes in their spiritual life to free them of that. So unfortunately, the suffering is coming. The graces are less. The blessings may be less. Who knows? I don't know it. But I will tell you that I've seen people heap suffering on themselves that really shouldn't even be there, because they are unwilling to get their spiritual state in order. They're unwilling to get their spiritual life in a good place with the Lord. And Lydia, that's what makes me cry terribly, because you can see people making the same mistakes over and over again, and they're not clueless. They just don't want to do it the way, you know, as Kirk was saying, in the way the Bible speaks about it. They just don't want to do it. They're looking at the world. They're living in the world and not living in God's word. So, Lydia, I'm right with you. What do you think? We could start that new. Let's start a new movement. We'll add a letter to the WWJD. What do you say?
I go for that one. I hope it comes true. We got to work on that one.
Okay. Well, that'd be fun. We could do something like that. Lydia, thank you so much. I love your heart. You are such a beautiful soul. Thank you for gracing this conversation. Okay, we were going to stay in the great state of Texas, but our next caller just dropped off. It was Trey in Texas. Trey, if you want to call back, we'll push you to the front of the line because you were waiting and you were next. And I want to get you in on this episode because you had something to say and you were prompted by the Spirit. So the number is 833-288- EWTN 833-288-3986. Trey in Texas, and I believe Mike in Maryland, if you want to call back. But in the meantime, please, there's room for you. You can get in on this conversation. The title is When Christians Behave Badly. How do we respond? What do we do? Maybe you're the Christian that's behaving badly. What are you doing to stop that? Okay, we talked about modeling good behavior. We talked about really staying in the positive realm of things and being in, you know, not to go into the darkness at all. We talked about getting into the living word of God. Now we want to hear what Scott has to say in Virginia. He's on Sirius XM 130. That's the way he's listening. Hi, Scott. Welcome to the program.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment on Christians, a Protestant Christian, if you're behaving badly, a lot of times, because I used to be an evangelical Christian for 30 years, the thing that is stated is that you're not a Christian to begin with. But as a Catholic, if you're behaving badly and doing things you shouldn't be doing, the thing about it is you're still in the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ. And I would just, in the Catholic world, urge them to go to confession, or just say it gently. Maybe you might want to go to confession even with venial sins. And in the Protestant world, I would just ask them, you know, look at Scripture and how does this compare with how you're acting? And, you know, don't fall through the cracks, so to speak. And that's my comment.
Great comments, Scott. I'm so glad you shared them with the world. I mean, I think that is fantastic advice. And I agree with you for Catholics to go to the healing sacrament of reconciliation. You're spot on. And for those that are Protestant, you know, get into Scripture and really see if your actions are matching up to what is really written in Scripture. And Scott, one other thing I want to ask you real quickly before I let you go. It sounds like you're in your car, so drive safely. But Scott, one other thing I want to ask you. Going back to Mary, our first caller in Colorado, when she was saying about how people don't even recognize that it is a sin, that they're behaving badly. They don't recognize even that they're not even acknowledging that this is a break in friendship with God. What would you say to those people? How do you get them to kind of wake up and realize it really is a tarnished and broken relationship with God when we choose to do things that God wants no part of?
How I would say to that is, if they're even caring about the relationship with God, if they have a relationship with God, or if they're professing Christians, then you may be able to address them on the Christian point of view. But I have a close relative, a sister, as a matter of fact, who behaves rather nastily, and she doesn't have any interest in Christianity or the Catholic faith, or Christianity in general. So in approaching her, the best thing that I was thinking about earlier today was just to pray for them and to have a conversion, not only to get to confession, but to have a conversion. And that's for people that aren't interested in changing their life or amending their life. I think the best thing is our offering up our prayers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, beautifully said. Thank you so much, Scott. Thank you for weighing in on this topic. We appreciate it. And God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day. I'm going to get to Patty in Northern Ohio. And I just wanted to say, I'm getting messages saying, how do we get our prayer requests in? Because I talked about it earlier with EWTN. It's so simple, you guys. Just take a moment now and send us your prayer request at EWTN.com/prayer. There's still time to get in on this episode, if you want to call in, 833-288-3986. Just remember, too, that Conversations with Consequences is Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, and Saturday afternoon, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN Radio. Archbishop Joseph Naumann joins to discuss forgiveness and how he found the courage to forgive his own father's killer. Wow. We love Archbishop Naumann. He is, I understand he listens to the show when he can. So we just love him. He's a friend of Take Two's. Okay, let's get to Patty. Patty's in Northern Ohio on Annunciation Radio. Hi, Patty. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. You go right ahead.
So first of all, thank you. I enjoy listening to Catholic radio, and I get a lot of, you know, inspiration listening to these programs. My comment for today is, you know, talking about, like, the future of our faith. And I see a lot with, I have two young adult children, a son that's engaged to be married. And what I find disheartening is, not only with my own child, but with other friends, family, other people in the faith, it doesn't seem our youth are even getting married in the church anymore. A lot mm-hmm. of them are finding a venue, such as a barn or some kind of cool venue. Mm-hmm. to get their marriage. They're not even considering sacramental marriages anymore. And I find this disheartening and very sad.
Mm-hmm. What's the, what do you think we should do about it, Patty? Because I have some thoughts on this, because that's one of the episodes, one of the shows we're going to be doing in December. Because as you know, spring and fall are marriage season. And this year was the biggest year I've heard of these destination weddings. It's unbelievable. And you're spot on. What can we do as the body of Christ? What can we do as the family of God?
Well, when my kids were in high school, we taught, my husband and I helped teach theology of the body. Mm-hmm. I feel like I thought maybe that would have stuck a little better, but I felt like it was an excellent program. I think the world of Matthew Kelly and his program, mm-hmm. Maybe we need to start younger with that kind of school of thought. Maybe it was a little too late by the time they get to high school age. That's one thought. But as far as, like, what I'm trying to do is just, I'm still trying to catechize my adult children. And I read a book called Return, which was very helpful. But basically, mm-hmm. it's like, you got to still, you know, don't give up. You can't blame yourself as the parent, because you're trying your darndest. But don't give up. Keep trying to put those seeds and work with them. And mm-hmm. that's kind of where I'm at. with my son, and I haven't given up, and they haven't actually set a date or had a have chosen a, an official venue, so I feel like I might still have a chance on working with them on this. Been trying to have loving conversations with both of them. I've mm-hmm. done separate conversations with just my son, and then I did get a chance to talk to my prospective future daughter-in-law. And I she says she's Christian, but yet I'm like, well, so why don't you want to get married in the church, you know? And mm-hmm. I think it's because of this all this hoopla with these cool, quote-unquote, cool venues that they're just, their friends get married in, and, oh, wasn't that neat, you know, or whatever. But I'm like, you're missing the point.
Exactly.
And she did make the mention that I think her mother brought her up Lutheran, and she said, yeah, Mom wants me to get married in the church, too. So I haven't given up hope, but it's just sad to me because, you know, I felt like my kids were brought up, I thought, with pretty strong faith mm-hmm. and went to church all through high school and into college. And like, I told my son, don't give up.
Yeah.
What you're, you know, to please this future wife. I'm like, you got to be the leader of the family and, you know, mm-hmm. trying to get that point across too.
Well, you're a great mom and you're doing your very best. And like we all have tried to do as parents. But Patty, I'm right with you. Here's a couple suggestions for anyone that's listening, especially if you have the ability to give a homily. And so what I mean by that is a priest or a deacon or a bishop. If you're listening, we need stronger homilies on this. We do. We really do. You can't be in fear that the plate collection is going down. Okay. You got to just speak the truth because our children need those graces and the blessings of a sacramental covenant marriage in that sense. They need those graces. Life is too hard. Marriage is it's hard in living in this world. And we truly need those special graces. And so to have a church wedding, definitely. Wouldn't you say, Patty, amen? Thank you. Thank you so much. Lisa, we're going to get to Lisa real quickly because I just looked at the clock. I'm going to try to squeeze Lisa in from Missouri on the EWTN app. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, there are so many things I could say on this topic, but the one thing I thought of early on is that, in the intro, and you were talking about how you need help with this, and we all know that our sins, we all just choose to ignore them. Somebody was mentioning that. But, you know, there are so many, and I'm in awe of how many people in the world there are in general in God's creation, that he knows all of us, but that, no, we don't all know what our sins are. You know, I'm a cradle Catholic. In recent years, have been listening to Catholic radio in the car and learning more and more about the faith. But, and even the hosts will sometimes talk about how, oh, we're all, you know, sinners, you know, we're lucky if we don't fall into mortal sin. But, you know, I am not, you know, committing, you know, murder and adultery and theft and these kinds of things. I live my life day to day in a way so that I'm evaluating what it is that I'm doing wrong. I pray that God will show me my wounds. I think that we need somebody to actually, you know, have some kind of a special that will talk about the sins, A to Z, you know, in your average daily life.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a person like me, that we can identify, acknowledge, where we're going wrong in our day-to-day life.
Right. I love what you have to say. You're going to get cut off by the music that comes in a little bit to close the show. Lisa, you are spot on. Here's what I'm going to do. There's a wonderful examination of conscience that I have been using for years, and it's exactly what you're talking about, the A to Z, you know, sins and things that we should be watching out for so that we don't get off the mark, that we can stay focused and be receptive to God's graces and also stay in great friendship with God. Venial sins all the way up to mortal sins. Absolutely. So I'm going to send it to Michael, our producer, and he's going to post it on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. Okay. He's so good about that. It's wonderful. I will caution everybody. The first time I went through it, I was pretty shocked. Because it's exactly what you're saying, Lisa. It gets into the absolute details of when we are breaking friendship with God. And so it's fabulous. So I'll post that on, Michael will post it on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. Everybody, when you get a chance, check that out and pick up that examination of conscience. Thank you, Lisa and Patty and Scott and Kirk and Lydia and Mary and the others that were on the line weighing in with comments. And you guys are amazing. You really helped us today. This was a huge show, I think. And let's do more of this so we can really walk together and really go deep in our faith together as the body of Christ. Thank you, Matt, Michael, Pedro. You did a great job. Others are writing in saying they would like to bring back those rubber bracelets, but they do want to add the R. So WWJRD, what would Jesus really do? I love it. Okay, you guys are awesome. Tomorrow we're talking about retreats and pilgrimages and why they are important. So catch us tomorrow. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.